भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 18, and verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13, you can say it together. It has no purport. And then 14, we can do. We can chant it. Text 13.
Kvachin nityat suchanyeshu gayako vadako swayam Shamshatu Maharaja Sadhu Saditi Vadino.
Translation. While the other boys were dancing, O King, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music, and sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, Very good, very good. Text 14. Word for word.
Kvachit.
Sometimes.
Bilvai,
with bilva fruits.
Kvachit,
sometimes.
Kumbhai,
with kumbha fruits.
Kvacha,
and sometimes.
Amalaka mushti bhi,
with palmfuls of amalaka fruits.
Asprishya,
with games such as trying to touch one another.
Netrabandha,
trying to identify another
when one is blindfolded.
Adyay,
and so on.
Kvachit,
sometimes.
Mriga,
like animals.
Khaga,
and birds.
Ihaya,
acting.
Kvachit bilvai, kvachit kumbhai.
Kvacha mala kamushti bhi.
Asprishya netra bandhayai.
Kvachin mriga khagehaya.
Kvachit bilvai, kvachit kumbhai.
Kvacha mala kamushti bhi.
Asprishya netra bandhayai.
Kvachin mriga khagehaya.
Please chant.
Kvachit bilvai, kvachit kumbhai.
Kvacha mala kamushti bhi.
Asprishya netra bandhayai.
Asprishya netra bandhayai.
Kvachin mriga khagehaya.
Mothers.
Kvachit bilvai, kvachit kumbhai.
Kvacha mala kamushti bhi.
Asprishya netra bandhayai.
Kvachin Mridyabhaya. Translation and purport by disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sometimes the cowherd boys would play with bilwa or kumbha fruits and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka fruits. At other times they would play the games of trying to touch one another or of trying to identify somebody while someone is blindfolded. And sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. Purport. What is that sound? Oh. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that the word adhyay by other such sports indicates that such games as chasing one another and building bridges. Another pastime would occur at noon while Lord Krishna was taking rest. Nearby, the young cowherd girls would be passing by, singing, and Krishna's boyfriends would pretend to inquire from them about the price of milk. Then the boys would steal yogurt and other items from them and run away. Krishna, Balaram and their friends would also play games in which they would cross the river in boats. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the boys would play with fruits by throwing a few in the air and then throwing others to try to hit them. The word netra bandha indicates a game in which one boy would approach a blindfolded boy from behind and place his palms over the blindfolded boy's eyes. Then simply by the feel of his palms, the blindfolded boy would have to guess who the other boy was. In all such games, the boys would put up stakes for the winner, such as flutes or walking sticks. Sometimes the boys would imitate the various fighting methods of the forest animals, and other times they would chirp like birds. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. It's a very sweet pastime, sweet pastimes of the two lords, Krishna and Balaram, playing along in the forest of Vrindavan. And I would like to read from the Krishna book where Srila Prabhupada has given a little bit more than what is expressed here and what's in the purport here. So I thought I would read the pastime as Srila Prabhupada has described it. So they are entering the beautiful forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere, Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys and the cows. They walked into the midst of newly grown leaves of trees whose flowers resemble peacock feathers. They were garlanded by those flowers and decorated with saffron chalk. Sometimes they were dancing and singing and sometimes wrestling with one another. While Krishna danced, some of the cowherd boys sang and others played on flutes. Some bugled on buffalo horns or clapped their hands, praising Krishna. Dear brother, you're dancing very nicely. Actually, all these boys were demigods descended from higher planets to assist Krishna in his pastimes. The demigods, garbed in the dress of the cowherd boys, were encouraging Krishna in his dancing. Up to that time, neither Balaram nor Krishna had undergone the hair-cutting ceremony. Therefore, their hair was clustered like crow's feathers. I thought that was very interesting. Like crow's feathers. They were always playing hide-and-seek with their boyfriends or jumping or fighting with one another. Sometimes, while his friends were chanting and dancing, Krishna would praise them. The boys played at catching ball with bell-shaped fruits and round amalaki. They played blind man's bluff, challenging and touching one another. Sometimes they imitated the forest deer and various kinds of birds. Sometimes they would play like a king and his subjects amongst themselves. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, along with all their friends, played all kinds of sports and enjoyed the soothing atmosphere of Vrindavan, full of rivers, lakes, rivulets, fine trees, and excellent fruits and flowers. So, such a nice description of Krishna and Balaram playing in the forest with their boyfriends, with all the cowherd friends. I came across a little like a transcription of a lecture by Lokanath Swami on some of these pastimes, and he was saying that the first time he came to America, before he came to America, he used to think that children in America must not play. They must, because, you know, it's such an advanced country, they must always like look through microscopes and, you know, do scientific experiments. They don't play. So he says when he came from the airport and he was going to the temple and he saw children playing, you know, in the baseball fields, children playing in different places. So he said, oh, okay, children are the same everywhere. They play. And so where does it come from? It comes from the spiritual world, and Krishna and Balaram are the most naughtiest boys who are playing. And in fact, there's so many descriptions of Mother Yashoda is telling, she's very concerned that she doesn't want Krishna and Balaram, that she doesn't want Krishna to go to the forest because he's so young. And so Balaram is going, so she lets Krishna go, okay, but don't go very far in the forest. And she would make excuses and she would say, don't go today. Okay, go tomorrow. Don't go today. So she would keep him. And then Krishna would sneak out. She's busy. She's doing her housework. And then she's looking out of the window to make sure he didn't go. And she's seeing the boys are going and going. And she's still watching. And all of a sudden, she sees Krishna is running and goes. And she runs after him. I told you not to go. And Balaram says, let him go. Let him go. We'll not go deep in the forest. Because they're so much eager to play and play with all the boys and have so much fun, as we have seen here, playing different games. And so this is happening, this particular pastime where Krishna will now slay the Pralamba demon, as we saw in the previous verses in the beginning of this chapter, that it's happening in the summer season. And in text 3, it was mentioned that it's summer season is not very pleasing to the people who are embodied. So the embodied souls are not very happy when the summer season comes, and because it's so hot and you can't really do much, you're like constantly, it's like suffering. And especially in India, I'd like to ask you all, who all of you have you been into India in the summer season, like in May, June? So would you like to share like how it was for you, the experience of being in India in May and June when there is... Yeah.
It was just so you always were living in a Gurukul building at that time. And they were also looking at the roof because you could stay inside the building like an oven.
Yes.
Even on the roof, the heat was coming up, radiating off the top of the roof. The devotees were sleeping on cots. And mostly devotees were working at night and sleeping during the day because it was just so hot, all the time. I heard a description, actually. There was one devotee who lived in Vrindavan for a long time. And he said something like, in March it's hot, in April it's hotter, in May it's unbearable, in June it's unbelievable.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to share? Madan Mohan Prabhu, you said you were in India in summer.
I was in Mayapur, and I just remember it being very hot, and where I was, there wasn't any electricity. So in the evenings it was very, very difficult to sleep. We had a mosquito net, but I don't remember much. It was 1976, and it was just being in Mayapur, but I was there until the middle of July, and I just remember, I don't think it was as bad as here, as far as I remember. Maybe my body was different then.
And maybe you were transcendent.
That was a wonderful place.
The heat. Actually, I was just talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and they said they were going to go to India. And I said, why do you want to go to India in the summer? It's so hot. And then they said, well, it will be in July, and then the rains will come, so it might not be so bad. And actually, they were saying they were going to go to Jagannath Puri, and since it's the ocean, it would not be so bad. And actually, that's what I was coming to, that in Vrindavan, it is so hot, but the description is that the Brijvasis are not feeling the heat, they're not feeling the pain of the summer season because Krishna is present, and Krishna says, I am the flower-bearing spring of all the seasons. So wherever Krishna is, it's like spring. And actually, when we the description which is in this chapter, and also in chapter 11 of this canto, when Krishna and Balaram, I mean, there are so many demons are coming, and Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men are very worried that so many demons are coming and disturbing Gokul, so they want to move. So they decide to, they're having a big ishtgoshti, and they're thinking, where should we go? We have to move out of here. Upananda has already done some research, and he has gone and he has seen the forest of Vrindavan, and he says, so he presents this in the ishtgoshti, Vanam Vrindavan Nama. He says, there is this forest with the name of Vrindavan, and there are very beautiful waterfalls there. There's green grass, there is lots of water, there are lakes, there's a lot of shade and caves in this mountain, which is Govardhan. So the waterfalls, as is described in this chapter earlier, that the waterfalls are kind of misting, and there's so much mist that all the trees and all the plants are actually just flourishing. Because if you were anywhere in India in the summer season, or even here, like, so many trees are just kind of dying out, you know, there's not much water. But in Vrindavan, because of all the water, and also it's described that the waves of the Yamuna are being touched by the hot, you know, the hot winds which are blowing, and they are making the atmosphere very cooling. So the Brajvasis are actually feeling very cool, and they're not at all disturbed. One verse which I remember from the Bhagavad Gita, one of the few verses which I actually remember, is Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, related to the heat and the cold, Shitoshnat Shukha Dukhada, that the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress is just like the appearance of summer and winter seasons, and they just arise from sense perception, and one must learn to tolerate them. So the summer and winter seasons, so the summer season will come and the summer winter season will come and they'll go, but how we perceive them, that's how it will affect us. So we see the Brajavasis are actually in Vrinda, they are there, but they are always thinking of Krishna. So in that way we can, as I was meditating on this pastime, thinking that if we actually are in that consciousness, and our goal is to be in Krishna consciousness, that we are not affected. It's not that once we make advancement, we'll not be, summer season will not come and winter season will not come, but will not be disturbed by those changes. And Krishna in this chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita has repeated at least 4 times that I saw when I was reading it yesterday. Verse 15, which is right after the Matra Sparsha Sukanteya verse, he says, one who is not disturbed by such changes and is steady in both is eligible for liberation. So, not to be disturbed. And as we know in the Vedic literature, whatever point has to be emphasized, it's said 3 times or more. So again, in verse 56, Krishna says, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, is a sage of steady mind, a sthitidhir muni. There he is, Haribo. So we become a servant of sthitidhir muni, a sage of steady mind. So as aspiring bhakti yogis, we want to become so Krishnaized that we are not affected by these different changes which are happening. And as our bhajan continues of chanting the Harinam mantra, Krishna is always present in our mind, Krishna is always present around us, and we are doing service to the beautiful deity forms of Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Gauranitai. We are dancing and chanting. Krishna is always present for us in the form of the season, spring. Krishna is the spring season. So we won't be affected by the changes in the weather. We won't be affected by the happiness and distresses. So just as the Brajvasis were experiencing so much joy and so much happiness in their day-to-day life, we can actually get there. We can get there, and we put Krishna and Balaram front and center of our lives, and constantly remember those pastimes. Then it is possible that we would get there. or we would be actually there now. And so, like Madan Mohan Prabhu said, he was in Vrindavan, he was in Mayapur, and it's so humid in July when the rains come, it's so humid. But you don't remember the heat. You remember, like, you're so, you were kind of happy, you know. And I do remember when growing up in India that we would sleep on the terrace of our house, and then the mosquitoes would come, so you put a mosquito net, and the you couldn't just go down to the house. It was so hot that you don't want to be there. You just don't want to be there. You don't want to go in the morning also, it's so hot. So, but the more we make advancement, those things will be there, but we won't be affected by them as much. I also remember that in 2004, we had this big hurricane. Remember, I think it was Andrew, right the day before Janmashtami, it struck here, and all the lights went out, and pouring rain, and no electricity and no water. In the temple here, I remember coming, we came for Janmashtami morning, and there was actually a curfew in the city, do not go outside your house because so many power lines are down. And we still came, and a lot of devotees were here for Mangal Aarti. The generators were on, the devotees had worked overtime to get the generators going, to at least have lights on the altar, at least some light, just there was a light in the middle and shining on the altar. But in the kitchen, I still remember to this day, the devotees were cooking, and we had the small kitchen, no electricity and no fans and nothing, and they were cooking all day, and a beautiful, wonderful feast was served at midnight. So I was thinking, as I was preparing for this verse, that how the devotees, there's so much love to make this offering to the Lord, that they were, regardless of what was happening, they were just serving, they were just cooking in the intense heat of the kitchen. So that is our meditation. That can be a meditation for all times, that we become Siddhidhir Muni and not be disturbed by the changes of the material world. Those are the thoughts I have for this verse. And I'll read the verse again, the two verses. And if somebody would like to add, make a correction, I would really appreciate it. While the other boys were dancing, O King, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music. And sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, very good, very good. Sometimes the cowherd boys would play with bilwa or kumbha fruits, and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka fruits. At other times, they would play the games of trying to touch one another or of trying to identify somebody while one is blindfolded. And sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, Jitari Prabhu.
Well, two things. I was just going to say that my daughter right now is actually in Vrindavan, and we ask her, is it hot? And she says, well, I don't really want to know. She says, she has a place there where there's air conditioning, but she doesn't even turn it on because she doesn't want to get, you know, so shocked when she goes outside. She got to, I guess there's not as many people there at this time. So for the Chandan Yatra, there was a flower outfit. So she actually, she works with one other devotee there, but this time she got to design the whole outfit for Radhe Shyam in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
For Chandan Yatra, the flower outfit. Yeah. So that was nice. But another point I was going to ask, you know, it's like in that, you know, the boys put up stakes, you know. So I wondered, is that, you know, when they're playing their games there? So is that gambling? You know, they gambled their sticks or their flutes or things like that. They put it up.
Well, we could consider it gambling.
Huh?
We could consider it gambling because it's a play. And where does it come from? You know, you can see where is our desire to be gambling. You know, many people are gambling. Where does it come from? But it is not gambling in the sense that they are trying to become, you know, they're trying to become materially... Yeah, and there is you can say it's like bartering, you know. But it is. But you know, you can see that it is. They're serving the Lord. They're making his leela so much more enjoyable. And as I read that part, I was thinking, so this is, you know, see, there we have these little games, you know. We'll say, okay, when we play, even when the children play games, they'll say, okay, I'll give you my Hot Wheel car, or, you know, or my son, now that he's in high school, and he says, I give my granola bar, I exchange my granola bar for something else, you know. So they are, the children are always trying to do this bartering system. So it is coming from Krishna. That's what is so sweet, that we can understand that if we actually recently I gave a, I was in a TTCU class, teacher's training class of Mother Lakshmimoni, and we had to do a 40-minute presentation by ourselves. So I gave, my presentation was on seeing Krishna everywhere. So as I read, of course, you know, we can see Krishna in so many things. But as we see here, you know, we are, when Krishna says, I am the gambling of the cheats, what does he say? Something, what's that verse? I'm the gambling of the cheats. So Krishna is in every aspect of our life and everything in the material world. Krishna, so we can see Krishna. When we see something, we can say, oh, this is Krishna. And we can actually get some, we can get clarification, and we can actually make so much advancement. I don't know if I answered your question, if somebody else would like to answer. Yes, Prabhu.
Also, two interesting points. I was thinking, because the Lord was present on earth, there was auspiciousness on the whole face of the earth. See, everywhere. Because it stated like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after he left the earth, you know, it was like darkened and dampened, you know, like that. So many things. That was one point. And the other point was, it was another age. See, this was at the end of Dwarpa Yuga. See? So there's been some difference too, you know, after Kaliyug entered, after Kaliyug started, the whole face of the earth and everything was a little different. It's not the same as Dwarpa Yuga, you know. Yeah, there's some change. And maybe we might not be able to understand it fully, but it seems from one age to the other there's some type of changes also, even physical. Yeah. So that the way we're perceiving things now and then, there's some difference there too.
See? The way, I'm sorry, what did you say? The way what?
The way we're perceiving things now.
Perceive.
Or, yeah, and feeling and experiencing things now, it's a little different from then. In other words, then it was nicer, put it this way, you know, the whole atmosphere and everything was nicer.
That's true, and however we understand that when Srila Prabhupada bringing the holy name to the Western world, Srila Prabhupada translating all these books, his goal is to make that mood, to whoever is willing to take that mood of experiencing Krishna everywhere, he has made it possible. And we actually, you know, to some degree, we all, each one of us has that feeling. We can experience so much joy. It might be in bits and pieces, in spurts, but we do experience that joy of, it's so intense. The joy is so intense that, and we can only put it at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, that he has made it possible to experience that joy. So yes, it is possible to have that experience, which as we are looking at how Krishna and Balaram are playing and enjoying, that we can, if we have that transcendental state of mind, we can enjoy it all the time. Isn't it? Hare Krishna. Yes, Mother Nartaka Gopal.
You were talking about how hot it would get in Vrindavan. I mean, I can take the heat because I like the heat more than cold. I was living there a little over 20 years ago for a year and a half straight. And so in those hot months, yeah, a lot of people, they'll, you know, go to the morning program and then they'll go and stay inside if they can, you know, for their service, depending if they can. Stay in their house most of the day with the... Back then, they really didn't have many air conditioners, but what we had was water coolers. So they have the water cooler on, and then in the evening, when it gets a slightly bit cooler, go out, you know. But I seriously remember it being, you know, usually here, like if somebody gets all sweaty and stuff, we'll go take a shower, right? Mm-hmm. I seriously remember it being so hot, that before Mangalartik, when you take your shower, we were sweating in the shower. Means there was no respite. And that was before Mangalartik. That was in the heat. But the deadest part, the hottest part of the year, you know, May, yeah, like they say, May and June, right? Oh.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
They would have these mats, jute mats called kush kush,
yes.
And they would put them up on the window, and they would soak them with a hose. And as the wind would go through the window, through the kush kush mat, it would give a little bit of a cooling effect. I remember they're quite similar to the pads that you get for evaporative coolers or swamp coolers that they use in the West Coast when the humidity is less. And I do remember walking to Mangalartik, and they would call it the itchy season, because they grew these jute plants. And during that season in Mayapur, they would flood the fields, and they would put the jute plants in the water, and they would rot. So what was left is just the strings, the fibers of the jute plant, and that's what they would make cloth out of, art silk, I think they called it. So evidently there's some kind of something that goes on when it's rotting, that you get some kind of the itchy season. Mm. But also I was thinking about, they were having fun, the cowherd boys, and this fun, we could call it fun samadhi. Because the reason most people aren't having fun all the time is their mind, the adi atmic misery, is constantly harassing each individual. So what people have for fun in the material world is just something to stop you, get you off the mental platform, scare you, exciting. You know, when you think what people do for fun, it's just to get you release from that. Even for 1/12 of a second, you can have concentration about something other than the miseries of material existence. And there, so this is what they're also looking for. We have a perverted reflection of fun, but this was the real fun.
Very good point, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Prabhu, would you like to? You were saying something? Okay. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.